Welcome to the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Burlington's weekly meditation. I'm Rodney Lowell, and the meditation I'll be sharing with you today is called Drawing on Life. I am a figurative artist, at least that's what I chose to do with my time when I retired in 2013. This piece, which I'm about to read, was written a few months after that. I attend a figure drawing class each Wednesday morning. I started this as part of my plan to improve my drawing skills. Since I was a kid, I've always dabbled in art, sketching, painting, carving, but I'd never had any formal classes until the last few months. Over the years, I've always tried representational drawing, but it was always dissatisfied with the end results. I often retreated to abstract ideas or non-representational art. Figure drawing was my way of addressing the obstacle I'd created in my mind. The naked human figure is one of the most difficult things to draw. When sketching a tree or a flower, a landscape or a seascape, even an animal or an insect, it's possible to not get it exactly right and yet still end up with a satisfying final piece. But there's something about the human form that can be seen to be recognized as just not right, even if the observer and the drawing they are observing are unknown to one another. If the ear is too high, the nose too long, the legs more muscular than they should be, the arms held at the wrong angle, the belly button too high, it jumps out at all, but the most casual observer is looking strange. The same nose on a different body might look fine. That high ear might be in the right spot for another individual. Each body we look at is in balance. Everything has grown in synchrony with the rest of the body. Even with a disabled or a damaged body, there's a sense of balance that's implicit for the human figure. We understand it at an instinctual level. Our prehistoric lives may have actually depended on it. That requirement for precision of size, shape, angle, bulk, sag, layers of skin upon layers of muscle and ligaments on a skeletal framework all make figure drawing the most difficult of human endeavors. If that is, the aim is to end with a piece of art that looks right. Not necessarily beautiful, simply right. This is the backdrop that led me to attending uninstructed figure drawing drop-in sessions and eventually to a formal class. It was during one of these classes that I suddenly realized the life lessons that can be drawn from life drawing. Perspective. The model stands on the podium and the first thing we do is move around to decide where we're going to place our easel. The different perspectives are infinite. Simply moving clockwise and counterclockwise, you get to choose what you're going to draw. If the model is standing, if you decide you're going to draw a profile, a view from the back or the front or any of the intermediary positions. So it is with life. Your perspective is under your control to a large degree. You can turn to the left, to the right, or take a balanced position, but your perspective is yours alone. The model is the same model, but no one else can stand on your spot. Your perspective is unique and no more correct than your neighbor's. Compromise. As we maneuver around one another to find our spot from which to draw, our teacher is adjusting the lights to create shadows. I may have some input to some degree on the position of the movable light on a large boom. Higher, lower, deep shadow here, less shadow there. What creates deep, interesting shadows for a classmate may wash away an interesting shape for me. The instructor may want to accentuate something for the day. We talk about lighting, we compromise on what works for everyone. Perhaps we change our perspective and move closer to one another so we both benefit from the changes. And so it is in life with major outside influences affecting each of us to a different extent. We make changes in our lives to adjust to those we live with, play with, and work with. We talk to one another if we want any hope of reaching agreement, and perhaps more importantly, we need to listen to one another. We do this with our small children, our teenagers, our siblings, parents, friends, colleagues, and neighbors both far and wide. Democracy is about talking and listening. Diplomacy is about talking and listening. But without compromise, I may not be happy with the lighting below the model's chin or by a young child's demand for a fork and spoon, a teenager's need for the car, a wife's desire for a dinner party this weekend, a neighbor's defense of her property line, a church's display of a rainbow flag or a Black Lives Matter banner, or another country's need for a centrifuge. Understanding one another. As we progress with our drawing, we talk, explaining what we're seeing or what we're having problems with. Occasionally, we walk over to another artist's easel to better understand what they mean. We try to see things from their point of view, but sometimes that's more difficult than you'd think. I'm 7 or 8 inches shorter than one of the other artists and a little taller than another. Even if we stand on the exact same spot where someone else has been drawing, we need to get uncomfortable to see things the same way. I may have to stand on my tiptoes and can only hold that for a brief moment before I collapse. It's no easier to crouch down a few inches. In life, we should all try to walk in the other's moccasins, as the wise indigenous people's saying suggests. It's important, even essential, to try and do that all the time, but we shouldn't expect we will ever be able to understand another completely or for very long. We have different perspectives and different influences, but if we revisit one another regularly, we'll gain insights we wouldn't have gotten otherwise. When an artist returns to their own easel, they have the same perspective, same influences, but with a renewed understanding. The hand we cannot see from our position might have shown us the appropriate angle for that elbow we have been struggling with. Making our opinion known is essential. Listening is even more critical, especially if multiple parties are in the conversation. If I'm in conversation with 6 people for an hour, I should only be talking for 10 minutes at most. Similarly, I shouldn't stay quiet for 58. And while I am silent, I should be listening, not spending my time forming my next argument to bolster my own point of view. The goal should not be to speak or even to listen. The goal should be to understand, and to do that, we may need to make ourselves uncomfortable. The hungry child may see the parent's silverware and fear that they will not be fed if they don't have their own. The teenager may not have asked for the car for several days knowing they had an important need this night. If it's the first dinner party in a while, shouldn't you hold it? Has your dog been venturing beyond the property line? Doesn't the rainbow flag and the BLM banner represent the church's values? Can't we check that a centrifuge is used only for peaceful purposes? Things change. I can't draw for 3 hours without a break. Even more so, a model can't hold a pose comfortably for that amount of time. So we take a short break every 20 or 30 minutes and a longer one in the middle of our time together. When the model takes up the pose again after a break, it's unlikely to be the exact same position. We ask for small corrections, a twist of the hips, a lift of the chin, the leg more forward, the arm held further back. Even then, things will not be identical from one time block to another, although a model will usually settle back into something very like the pose before the break. You have to adapt and move on. Draw what you see now. It's the same in life. People grow, places change, expectations are different. You have to adapt and move on. Babies develop personalities. Small children soon become teenagers with their own life experiences. Friends marry, have children, separate, divorce, make mistakes. Colleagues move on. Countries evolve. Even if none of those things changed, we ourselves would. Living our lives as if everything remains static, it's foolish not to adapt to the changes. We must live our lives within the constraints we have, not the constraints we wish we had. Learn to see what is there rather than what you wished was there. One of the most difficult challenges facing any artist drawing the human figure presents itself when dealing with foreshortening. Simply said, an arm pointing to the sky may show the forearm to be full 18 inches long. but have your model point at you and it may only hide an inch or two of the shoulder on your paper. A model lying flat with arms and head towards you and legs away will result in the lower leg being drawn perhaps smaller than the hand closest to you. Your head knows the leg and the foot are much larger than the hand. Your hands may want to reflect that, but you must fight it lest you have a disfigured drawing. You may think you have the brightest child in the world, but you probably don't. You may think you've done a great job at work, but you should check with other people before insisting on a raise. You may have the friendliest, most welcoming congregation at church, but put them under the stress of a new minister and you may find a few surprises. Take off the rose-colored glasses, you'll see more clearly, understand more honestly, and react more realistically. Ignore the insignificant and enjoy the unique. One day, in the studio, the morning sun was beaming in through a tiny gap in the window blind, bouncing off some shiny object and making an irregular 2-inch shape on the model's back. As the morning ebbed away, the bright spot moved across the model's back from lower left to upper right. That circle of light, drowning out all light and shadow in its path, was never going to make it into my sketch. An observer looking at the drawing wouldn't understand what they were seeing out of context. It took me a while to understand what I was seeing, and I was there. Every time I moved my eye from the subject of easel and back again, the spot had moved. At the end of the day, the reflection was insignificant to my drawing. It wasn't going to help an observer understand or enjoy what they were looking at. So I let the spot crawl across the model's body, enjoying the movement of the heavens painted across the skin of the model, but not trying to capture the uncapturable with charcoal on paper. In life, the little things may drive you crazy if you let them. Don't succumb. Go with the flow. Enjoy the small, unique moments when you can, and look for the beauty in everything. The 18-month-old grandchild playing in a muddy puddle in her best pink spring dress. The teenager sharing a secret in the back seat of the car because you, the chauffeur, has become invisible. 7 feet of snow blanketing the yard during a long, hard winter. A politician's momentary display of honesty. People are different. Enjoy them all. Figure models come in all shapes and sizes. Slim women in their 50s, overweight men in their 60s, bodybuilders in their 20s, marathon runners in their 30s, fidgety young women, stolid old men, silent college students, chatty lawyers. There's no one standard body shape, there's no one standard personality. I want to learn how to draw what I see. Makes no matter whether there is ample flesh covering the bones or not. Understanding how that flesh hangs from bone on this model in this pose helps me understand why skin gets pulled taut on another model in a different pose. The models are not a still life. I need to be able to relate to them as individuals, no matter their personality. This may be the most obvious area where figure drawing and life coalesce. There are more personalities than people. Take joy from getting to know as many as you can. Learn from each one, apply your newfound knowledge to the next, and adjust as necessary. You make mistakes. Drawing is a series of mistakes and corrections. The technique I'm using at the moment has an additive component and a reductive component. Apply a thin layer of charcoal dust to a piece of paper and add darkness with a charcoal stick, and remove dust with an eraser to create lighter areas. We're taught to avoid the details early on. Begin with the larger dimensions and move on to more detail. Measure, correct, check angle, correct, check position, correct, check shape, correct, repeat, repeat, repeat. Constantly move from one area to another. Stay with the less detail as long as you need to. Check, correct, repeat, again and again. It may take 100,000 strokes of the charcoal and the same number of erasures to complete the drawing. but you might have erased 10 times that number of charcoal marks while correcting or covering white space with 10 times that number of charcoal marks. And that is just the practice drawing. You might not get to the final piece worthy of display. Life is like that too. Nothing gets done right on the first try. It may never be done right, but the effort to try is worthwhile and you will always improve. You may disappoint your partner, relative, or colleague, but you can always apologize, make up, and move on to try better next time. Even if you correct every mistake, you will always just have one more correction than mistake. So make more mistakes, so you'll have more corrections. And with each correction, you improve. Take your time. Get the big things right. You'll enjoy the small things later on. One of my hardest lessons was to slow down. I constantly wanted to rush ahead and start getting that face to look correct. Get the shadow between the scapulas to bring out the strength in a man's shoulder. Get that curve of the breast just right. I was constantly instructed to linger on the larger lines, and now I'm constantly struggling with my inner self to do the same thing. What are the largest dimensions? Top to bottom, left to right, anchor the middle. Don't play with the knee until you know where the thigh joins the body and how long they are compared to the arms. Forget about the face until you know how the head sits on the backbone and what angle it's being held. There's no point in placing the belly button unless you know the hips are correctly angled to complement one another. You may get a lot of pleasure out of making that hand look just like what you're seeing, but if you have it the wrong size, your drawing may need to lose a head. And if it's at the wrong angle, it may look like your model has a broken wrist. Life is full of large choices and small choices. Put your time and effort into the right things at the right time. Focus on the content of the college paper, not the font. Decide what portion of your investment should be in equities before selecting a single stock. Make sure you have a great firm to build the foundation on your new house, because if it's a poor one, the best interior designer will never be able to paper over the cracks. Thank you for listening.